Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's good to be back together again in the presence of the Lord, looking at His Word, seeking to hear from Him, seeking to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. What's on God's heart for us at this time. Hallelujah. Just coming back to our current series, Let the Weak Say, Let the Weak Say, I am strong, and I am strong. Why? Because He is strong. You know, as I said last time, when God is doing something new, He first of all finds a man. You know, He's the God whose eyes scan the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His, looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely His. It's always God's heart to show Himself strong on our behalf. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. So as I said last time, when God is doing something new, He finds a man or a woman. He scans the earth looking for a man or a woman. Not perfect men or women, because they don't exist, but those who do have some basic character qualifications. Remember, they must have a willingness to step out of the known into the unknown. They must be willing to abandon the status quo to pursue God's heart, to pursue God's will and God's purpose in the earth. They must also, of course, believe that God is able to do what He says He will do. Those who come to God must believe that He is the rewarder, that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What do we want to believe? We want to believe that He is strong, that He wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely His. He wants to show Himself strong. So those who come to God must believe that He is strong and that He is able to do what He says He will do, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. So they must believe that God is able to do what He says He will do. Also, they must be teachable. They must be teachable. They must submit their hearts to the Lord to be instructed by Him to take what He says, to take it seriously, and not just to receive it, but to act upon it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. First thing Jesus did was He called disciples. He called disciples to follow Him. You know, He didn't call them to sit down with Him passively and just remain in that seating position in some kind of meditative state for the rest of their lives. No, He said to come and follow me. That implies action, that implies movement. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Also, they must never give up or quit. They must have a tenacity, they must have a resilience, they must have a resolve that they will not give up or quit until God has fulfilled what He said He would do. Hallelujah. Because they have an inbuilt confidence in the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Something else I believe we must understand is that God always plans generationally. He thinks generationally, and He plans generationally. In the Old Covenant, God identifies Himself over and over again as the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. This is a bit of revision, but you know, God, I believe, was beginning a new thing with Abraham. I mean, no, I don't have to believe it for that to be true. Glory to God. That's the absolute truth of God's Word, and I choose to believe what God's Word says. But you know, I've just been remembering some things as we approach the anniversary of New Wine Church next week. You know, I was thinking about how Abraham must have been laughed at and sneered at when he introduced himself and announced as he gave his name that he was the father of nations. You can just imagine people turning to him and saying, well, how many children do you have? And of course, initially, he had to say, well, none. You know, you have to be able to endure that kind of stuff when God is doing a new thing in you and through you. When you choose to become a part of what God is doing fresh in your generation. You know, I remember myself when I would tell people here on this island, you know, that I was pastor of a church. And I remember speaking to quite a high-profile member of the community at one time. I had an encounter with him in regards to some other situation. He asked me, what do you do? I said, well, I pastor a church. And this is what he said. He said, well, not a real church. You encounter kind of real encouraging stuff like that, you know, and there's many, many other times when people, you know, you would tell someone you'd say the same thing to people in other parts of the country or in other countries, and of course, they just accepted that, you know, hallelujah, but here it was kind of different, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, hallelujah. So as we approach our 29th anniversary, I was actually reminded of a word that we received way back at the beginning. And that word was concerning the revival that took 30 years. The revival that took 30 years. Based obviously on Jesus' life and the 30 years of preparation before he was released into the fullness of his ministry. Which actually, as I was considering these things, also dovetails with the word that I shared again last week that I received in 2007 regarding message and ministry. You know, I have not been building a ministry through you, but I've been building a message in you, and out of that message, the ministry, many ministries will come. I just want to remind us again of something else I said last week, and that is, well, I truly believe that God is doing a kingdom reset right now, and he is restoring his plan A, and his plan A is the local church. I don't believe he ever really had a plan B. Sometimes we've rolled in plan B, C, and D, but I believe that God's plan A is the local church. It's the place of preparation, it's the place of equipping, and it's the place of release. Hallelujah. Into ministry. Glory to God. In every new thing, I was just thinking about this over the past week, but in every new thing there will be a uniqueness, there will be a distinctive, something that sets it apart, and it'll be something that's to be replicated and reproduced in the planting of new churches. Hallelujah. I believe another thing that God is doing at this time is refocusing our eyes on the harvest. Remember what Jesus said? He said, look up. Look up. He said, the fields are already white unto harvest. There's only one problem, the laborers. The laborers are few. You know, I've never, even in my short time on this earth and in my 40 years as a believer, I've never seen so much focus on titles and labels and all of these things. And I believe God is just saying, look, it's time to take your eyes off all of that stuff. God's looking for laborers. Hallelujah. Amen. God's doing a kingdom reset, I believe, right now. He's restoring his plan A, the local church, and he is restoring our focus, our vision. Hallelujah. This is 2020, remember. God gave us that prophetic declaration as the year of the unashamed, the year when we will unashamedly proclaim and declare. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God. Remember, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of this good news. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone. Everyone. Who believes? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? It says in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. In every new thing, there will be a uniqueness, there will be a distinctive, there will be something to be replicated, something to be reproduced in the planting of new churches. Hallelujah. So we've been going through the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. We've been seeing how those listed there, how they were made strong. It says there in Hebrews 11, that out of their weakness they were made strong. How were they made strong? By faith, because they simply believed God. They came to him with all of their weakness, and through faith that their weakness was converted to strength. Hallelujah. They said, I am strong, but I am only strong because he is strong. Amen. So last time, if you remember, we began looking at Joseph, who of course is the great grandson of Abraham, and we recognize that the fact that his weakness, and this can be quite difficult to swallow, you know, I think particularly in today's church when there's so much emphasis on self improvement, self advancement, and all of these other things associated with self, which is really just psychology. The church is imported psychobabble. When really the one thing that Jesus said we need to do with self is deny self. Hallelujah. You know, it's very often that we just get in the way of ourselves. Self gets in the way of God's purpose and God's plan. And the only thing God, Jesus invited us to do with self was to deny self, to take up our cross, and to follow him. To follow him. Hallelujah. Now we know if Jesus says to deny self, it's not because he's trying to put us down, it's because he's trying to lift us up. Why? Because he always comes to lift us up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we recognize that with Joseph, that his weakness was in the fact that he was his father's favorite, that he was Jacob's favorite. However, when his father's favor proved insufficient to protect him and provide for him, he came to that place of great exchange, and he exchanged his natural father's favor for the favor of God that can never fail to protect or to provide, regardless of the circumstance or the situation that we might encounter or that we might find ourselves in. You know, I believe Joseph's positive attitude of faith was the key to attracting God's favor to his life. You know, Jesus, I believe, Joseph became a sign and a wonder in Egypt. And eventually, even in the midst of a famine, he was the most exciting and the most relevant thing that was going on there. Why was that? Because when people are hungry, the prospect of and the opportunity to meet the person who holds the key to their next meal and keeping them alive, well, that person becomes very exciting. Hallelujah. That becomes the kind of person they're looking for. That's the person they're pursuing. That's the person that they want to meet with. Hallelujah. That's the person that they want to give their attention to. Hallelujah. You know, in Scripture, it prophesied a time when there would be a famine of the Word of God. I tell you, I see that in this time. You know, when I see the response and the reaction of the whole world to what's been taking place over these past few months, I think, wow, where is the Word of God in all this? Where is faith? Where is faith? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find a people who simply placed all of their trust in him? Why? Because they know that he's worthy of that trust, because they know that he is always faithful to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, our foundation scripture, listen again to what these words say. Proclaim this. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Hallelujah. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Hallelujah. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong. Why? Because he is strong. You know, as I've said previously, our message, I believe, is a storm-proofing message. It's a positive message that has prepared us for times of crisis and chaos, just like the world is facing right now. Our message becomes very relevant in these days and in these times. Hallelujah. We preach Christ crucified. We unashamedly proclaim that at the cross, Jesus turned every negative into a positive. Hallelujah. Don't know if I worked a lot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Every negative. We were just wandering through this life, this horizontal plane of life. The only thing that we knew was at some point we were going to fall off the end. But God loved us so much that he intersected a horizontal journey through this life. He came down. And the place of encounter is where the vertical meets the horizontal. We meet him at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm miserable every day. No. Now I'm happy Every day, all day, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We preach Christ crucified. We unashamedly proclaim that at the cross, Jesus turned every negative into a positive when he became a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. Remember, a positive attitude will always take you up. Your attitude will always determine your altitude. As I said last time, you can peck around on the ground like a chicken. Yeah, I remember as a kid, and you go out the back door to the granny's house, and the chickens would be kind of pecking around there, and as you walk through, they'd be, you know, flap, 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 flap. So, I mean, that Muslim couldn't even get high enough to cross a fence. We can peck around on the ground like a chicken, always in a flap, but hardly getting off the ground. Or we can choose to exchange our weakness for the Lord's strength and soar like an eagle. You know, we know an eagle does very little flapping. Only 10% of its time in the air is flapping. As it effortlessly rises to where no chicken will ever go. Hallelujah, has ever gone. Amen. Eagles, they flap only 10% of the time that they are in the air. The other 90% of the time is spent soaring. You see, basically life is 10% of what you make it and 90% of how you take it. I'll say that again. Life is basically 10% of what you make it and 90% of how you take it. You see, the freedom that God has given us is the freedom to choose. Before we were born again, a lot of that freedom was perverted in our lives, because according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we were caught in the devil's snare and taken captive by him to do his will. Remember that song by Bob Dylan, "You've Got to Serve Somebody"? Might be the devil, or it might be the Lord. Some people think they're serving themselves, but anyone who chooses to serve self is just really following the agenda of Satan. Or serving the devil. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 teaches us that there are those who are caught in the devil's snare, taken captive by him to do his will. One man said that definition of Satanism is just do what you want, do what thou wilt, do what you want. Because you think when you're doing what you want that you're doing what you want, but really you're doing what the devil wants. Because he wants you, he wants to take you with him to the place of eternal punishment. But God's got a better plan. He comes to take you up out of that. Brokenness, out of that lostness, out of that servitude to wicked agendas. See, although we had the right to choose, our natural inclination to sin usually caused us to choose wrong. And we all know people who aren't Christians, we all know people who are not born again who we see do many good things. But we also know that the good things are not sufficient to meet God's standard of righteousness. And that's why we need to unashamedly proclaim and declare this good news of the kingdom. That there is none righteous. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death. But the gift, the free gift, this is the good news, folks. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why Jesus said he was anointed to preach deliverance to the captives, to liberate the oppressed. That's why he said that those whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Because we have freedom, we also have responsibility to exercise that freedom with wisdom, to exercise that freedom wisely. You know, and as we've looked, I believe, at Joseph's life, we've seen that he chose to maintain a positive attitude of faith, even when his circumstances appeared to be negative. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. See, your attitude will determine your actions. Your perspective and how you see things will, more than anything else, determine how your life turns out. The person with the best attitude is the one who sees more opportunities than anyone else. The person with the best attitude is the one who believes that every failure, because we all fail, come on, I said we all fail, but failure doesn't have to be the end. The person with the best attitude believes that every failure is simply a stepping stone to success. You may have heard the story of the poor farmer whose favourite donkey fell into a deep pit that had been dug on his land, on his property. And, you know, he didn't have a rope long enough, and he couldn't afford to hire anyone to help him pull the donkey out. Eventually, he just decided that the best thing to do was simply to bury the donkey alive where he was. Now, he might have been the donkey of a poor farmer, but that man's broken down and hopeless poverty spirit hadn't rubbed off on him, the donkey. So everyone hearing, no doubt, of this donkey's predicament, they would probably have shaken their heads inside and said, oh, what a shame, poor donkey. But he was no poor donkey, and so he wasn't ready to be buried alive. His attitude wasn't one of a poverty mindset. His attitude wasn't one of a, oh, well, here we go, whatever comes around, comes around. Whatever will be, guess this is my fate, to be buried alive in this hole, in this pit. No, you see, every time the farmer put a shovel full of dirt down into that pit, it may have brought a fresh tear to the eye of the farmer, but to the donkey, he saw very differently. What he saw was an opportunity to shake off that dirt and to stand on it. It gave him something fresh to stand on. And so with every shovel full of dirt, he just came up a little bit, just a little bit, just came up just a little bit higher. And so eventually that which was supposed to bury him became the means of his salvation. Come on, one of the most incredible, awesome things about God is that he can take the evil that was meant against you and turn it around for good. Oh, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. You see, that's the way it was for Joseph. Every negative circumstance, every shovel full of negative circumstance that he faced, he saw as an opportunity to move up. And it can be exactly the same for us if we just maintain the right attitude. Every thought of discouragement must be taken captive. Remember, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Are these mindsets impregnated with hopelessness that cause us as believers to accept as unchangeable things that we recognize are contrary to God's will as revealed in his word. So we take every thought captive. These thoughts of discouragement, they must be taken captive, because discouragement is the enemy of our progress. Discouragement comes to rob us of the momentum that courage provides to move us forwards and upwards. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Familiar words, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper anywhere you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Hallelujah. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is with you everywhere and anywhere that you go. Hallelujah. Your attitude will determine whether your thoughts will bring you down and keep you earthbound, or whether your thoughts will take you up into the fullness of heaven's plan and provision. That's why we pray. That's why Jesus taught us to pray that our Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we must line up and align our thoughts with His high thoughts. Because only His high thoughts can establish us in His high ways. And His highway always leads to victory. Always leads to victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. There is no defeat in Christ. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Remember, we don't get very often to choose the circumstances that we face, but we do get to choose our attitude towards our circumstances. We may not always have the opportunity to choose what we go through, but we do have the right to choose how we come through it. Listen to how Paul put it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7-9. Again, familiar verses. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, the excellency of the strength, the excellency of the might may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not never destroyed. You know, troubled is defined as beset by problems or conflict. You know, Jesus said we will encounter trouble in this world, but He also promised us that in the face of that trouble, we could cheer up. Why? Because we can overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world. And because I've overcome the world, you will overcome the world. Because we are in Him now. I'm strong because He is strong. We overcome the world in His strength. Hallelujah. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because He is strong. We might be troubled, folks, but we don't ever need to be distressed. To be distressed means to be suffering from anxiety, sorrow, or pain. You know, the big, big focus right now on mental health. You know, everybody's talking about how this so-called lockdown is affecting people's mental health. And we have to have sympathy and compassion for people that struggle in these areas of life. Of course we do, but we have the solution. We have the answer. His name is Jesus, because Scripture says that they will be kept in perfect peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, whose minds are fixed on Him. That's why we need to invite people to turn their attention away from their problems, their troubles, their stuff, and fix their minds upon Him. Hallelujah. And that's where great change begins. Hallelujah. Our attitude in times of trouble will determine whether we are cheerful or distressed. You know, the dictionary actually lists the antonym or the opposite of distress as happiness. Remember, the blessing of God makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. You know, Jesus gave that in the Sermon on the Mount. He gave what we call the Beatitudes. And you know, when He says blessed there, you know, that word there means supremely blessed and happy. Happy, happy, happy. One man called them the Be Happy Attitudes. We need to see trouble as an opportunity. to manifest the blessing. Remember, a good and positive attitude attracts the favour of our Heavenly Father. Let the weak say, I am strong because He is strong. We may be perplexed. You find us feeling completely baffled. Been there a few times, amen. But we don't have to give in to despair, which is the complete loss or absence of hope. See, our attitude in the midst of perplexity will determine whether we yield to despair or whether we continue to believe that although we might not understand everything that's going on right now, we do know, we are fully assured that God's plans for us are always for good and never for evil. That He always causes us to prosper. That He always comes to give us a future, a hopeful future, a future that's filled with the power, the radical power of hope. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that cannot yet be seen. Hallelujah. Let me point this out right now. This is important. Listen to this. The right attitude is always easier to maintain than to regain. It's always easier to maintain the right attitude than it is to regain it if we quit on it or lose it. Or just keep that. Keep a hold of that. Keep it as a deposit down there in your spirit. Hallelujah. Every time you're tempted just to blow it. To sacrifice your attitude, you know, on the altar of some perceived injustice or something. A positive attitude will always attract God's favour and will supernaturally turn around the most perplexing of situations. If you just maintain that right attitude. I mean, can you imagine how Joseph felt as he was taken from Potiphar's house to a prison cell? Think about it. I mean, this is real life. This is real life. This guy had served better than anybody had ever served his master, Potiphar. So much so that Potiphar just left everything to him and left everything in his charge. He's one false accusation and all of a sudden he's been taken out of that place of trust and privilege under the favour of men and he's been taken off to prison. You see, only maintaining the right attitude could have kept him on course. Only maintaining the right attitude could have attracted the continued favour of God upon his life. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because He is strong. You know, there will be times when we will be persecuted. We'll be subjected to hostility, to harassment, to ill treatment simply because of what we believe. But we can be certain of this one thing, that we will never be forsaken. We will never be abandoned. Our attitude in the face of persecution will determine whether we feel forsaken and abandoned or whether we attract the supernatural favour and strength of God who has promised to never, ever, ever, ever leave us and never, ever, 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 ever forsake us. And that is what enables us, supernaturally enables us to pray blessing even on our persecutors. You see, we are not responsible for how people act towards us. But we are responsible for our attitude and how we react to their treatment of us. How we react to how they act towards us. And if we are dependent on man's favour, sometimes we can become slaves of these things. If we are dependent on man's favour, then we will fold under persecution. You know, some people think peer pressure is just something that teenagers experience. But you know, peer pressure is everywhere at every stage of life. And if we are dependent upon man's favour, we very often will fold under persecution. But if we do as Jesus did and simply ask the Father to forgive them, even though we might be pretty well fully convinced that they are actually well aware of what they are doing, That will always attract the Father's supernatural favor. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. We may be cast down. That means thrown down forcefully. But we cannot be destroyed. We cannot be utterly defeated. Why? Because victory is assured. God always causes us to triumph. We always come out of this as winners. Remember, the battle is in the mind. You know, in a boxing match, when someone goes down on the floor, the referee begins to count from 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. And if that person that's on the floor doesn't muster the strength to get back up before the 10 count is over, then he's out for the count. And the fight is over. But when we go down, the count doesn't stop until we get back up again. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So our attitude simply needs to be, I will arise. I might get to 18, 19, 20, but I will arise. Hallelujah. And I will always attract the Father's favor. That will always attract the Father's supernatural provision to restore us. You know, it's when the prodigal son said, I will arise. Something happened in the realm of the spirit. He attracted his Father's favor, who ran out to meet him and completely restore him with his favor. Bring out the best robe. Put a ring on his finger, new shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party, a big party to celebrate. This is my son who was dead. He's alive again. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when Pharaoh refused Moses' request to let God's people go, the 10 count began, but it wasn't 1, 2, 3, no, it was 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off! Hallelujah! Remember what we spoke about last week? Guess whose bones went with them? Hallelujah. Remember what Joseph had left instruction? That when God's people finally left Egypt, they were to take his bones with them. Our attitude prophesies our future. Joseph's positive attitude of faith definitely prophesied his. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Let the weak say, I am strong because he is strong. You know, Thomas Jefferson said this, he said, nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. See, by maintaining the right attitude, Joseph saw the visions that he had received as a 17-year-old come to pass many years later. And after many opportunities to let go of the vision and to give up and to quit, to become discouraged and let his discouragement just take him off on a tangent somewhere. You know, when Joseph received his dreams, I'm sure he could never have possibly imagined that he would be fulfilled in such a dramatic and such a phenomenal way. And God has given all of us visions and dreams. So if we are diligent to maintain a positive attitude of faith in the midst of all of the opportunities to throw in the towel, then just like Joseph, we will see what God has promised fulfilled in our lives in ways that are exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. Who says that? Who said that? God says that. Hallelujah. Said it for years, if you don't quit, you can't fail. If you don't quit, if you won't give up and quit, then you can't fail. Abraham Lincoln said it this way, let no feeling of discouragement prey upon you, and in the end you are sure to succeed. Joseph's positive attitude is what attracted the favor of God and caused every negative situation to turn around for good. Let's have a look at how it worked in Jesus' life. Familiar words again. I'm going to read it. Philippians 2, 5-11 from the God's Word translation. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of this equality. Instead, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, by becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. This is why God has given him an exceptional honor, the name honored above all other names, so that in the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Never forget, a kingdom principle is that the way up is down. The natural law of gravity says that what goes up must come down, but the supernatural law of the kingdom says what goes down must come up. James chapter 4, verse 10, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, again from God's Word translation. Humble yourselves in the Lord's presence, then he will give you a high position. God opposes the arrogant, but he favors the humble. Ultimately, only God's favor can turn things around. Only a positive attitude of faith will attract his favor. Hallelujah. We should never attempt to gain the favor of men, but instead we should do everything as though we were doing it for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, slaves, obey your earthly masters with proper respect. Be as sincere as you are when you obey Christ. Don't obey them only while you're being watched. This is so, so, so important to grasp this. So many of us, you know, we get into that performance mode, you know, when we think people are looking or we think people are listening, you know, and we try and impress people, trying to attract the favor of men because we're so hungry for the favor of men. But the favor of men, as I said before, is fickle. Sometimes you might feel as if you've been favored and the next minute you've been dropped like a stone. Don't obey them only when you're being watched, as if you merely wanted to please people, but obey like slaves who belong to Christ, who have a deep desire to do what God wants them to do. Serve eagerly, as if you were serving your heavenly master and not merely serving human masters. You know that your heavenly master will reward all of us for whatever we do, good we do, whether we're slaves or free people. Oh, hallelujah. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember, the freedom we have is the freedom to choose. We have the freedom to choose the right attitude. That attitude that will always attract our Heavenly Father's favor, that will bring to pass all that he has planned for us, fulfill all of the visions and all of the dreams that he has given us. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. Let me just wind this up right now. Let's just open our hearts right now to the Holy Spirit. And let's allow the searchlight of God just to come in and search out our heart attitude right now. Help us to refocus. Help us to turn our eyes back, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How was their weakness? How were they made strong out of their weakness? How come out of their weakness they were made strong? By faith. Are we ready to exchange a dependence upon the weakness of man's favor for the supernatural strength of our Heavenly Father's favor? Are we ready to exchange a negative attitude of fear and unbelief that leaves us as a victim under our circumstances? Are we willing to exchange that for a positive attitude of faith that will always make us a victor over our circumstances? Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that today we can say, I am strong because you are strong. Help us to get that message out there, Father. Help us to get that message out to people right now who are struggling under the burden of a weakness that they just cannot get beyond. Help them to know that they can come to the place of great exchange, the place of encounter with the living God. That they can come to the cross and exchange their weakness for your strength. So that together we can rise up and say, I am strong. I am strong because he is strong. I am strong, Father, because you are strong. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for that reality. In Jesus' name, amen.